Dave Carney, WKTY La Crosse, 96.7 FM, 580 AM, back here with you on a 2 for Tuesday WKTY Morning Show double shot of whatever it is we want to play. This is the second from the Stone Temple Pilots, and don't be confused, this is a sports show. I get it. I realize it. We just love to have some fun with our music, and so many of our listeners, they love to have fun with the music too, and I'll give a special shout out to Eric from La Crescent. He's given us a couple of really nice requests this morning. I've already mentioned a couple of yet. Neil Duda, P12 Foreman. We also got some nice requests in here from Dave Ludke. Dave Ludke, thank you very much, and I think we'll be able to honor your request as well. If you've got a couple of tunes that you're desperate to hear and you're thinking to yourself, nobody else is going to play these for me, even though they're good songs, give me a shot. 608-796-2558. That is our Stone Distribution Talk and Text Line. Take this morning's Flipside poll question on our website and our Twitter feed. At WKTY, WKTYsports.com, which of these two AFC teams do you think has the best shot to be in the Super Bowl, the Patriots or the Chiefs? Little later this morning, I'll unveil the winner for Week 12's Flipside Pigskin Pick'em Contest. A $25 gift certificate to the Flipside, as well as a ship-shaped gift card, will be yours if you are Week 12's winner. We've had some really good winners, and we've had a couple of two-time winners this year as well. Matty Ice from Rockland, he was a winner. And maybe this week it's your turn. The Flipside Pigskin Pick'em Contest, free to play, by the way, and easy to find on our website, WKTYsports.com. Coming up 7:15, Matt Janis going to be on the program. 7:40, Hunter Bumgart. 8:15, Sports Betting Insider John Denton. Eric from La Crescent, I know that I will put this on the back burner and may not get a chance to mention it again because we are so loaded. But Eric from La Crescent is picking up a thread, and I do have it right here in my notes to mention it. Just didn't get a chance to run it down in trending now. The Minnesota Timberwolves. The Milwaukee Bucks will be playing again tomorrow night. They'll be hosting the Hornets. The Minnesota Timberwolves last night, they beat the Indiana Pacers 100-98. The T-Wolves, don't look now, but the T-Wolves have won 7 of their last 8 basketball games. Yesterday, I was talking about Anthony Edwards and Karl Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell and how these guys are really coming together. Well, the Timberwolves, they're starting to make this thing look legit. Winners of 7 of 8, that's nothing to sneeze at, 198 over the Pacers. Quick note here for college basketball, Big Ten basketball. The Big Ten ACC Challenge is going to begin tomorrow, and a lot of fun matchups. We're going to have a lot of fun matchups. Duke and Ohio State, the Badgers will be in action as well. Dave Ludke really looking forward to that. Last night in Big Ten basketball, Iowa was up early on Virginia by 14 points at the half. Keegan Murray was absolutely electric. Keegan Murray for Iowa, by the way, leads the country in scoring. Iowa ended up having to hold on for a 75-74 win over a really good Virginia team. The Illinois Fighting Illini, they made fairly easy work of Notre Dame, 82-72. So Eric from La Crescent, thanks for making sure that I mentioned that Minnesota Timberwolves news note. And Dave Ludke, really excited about the Badgers men's basketball team. And so am I, now ranked number 23 in the country after winning that Maui Invitational. Johnny Davis, La Crosse Central grad, being named the MVP of the Maui Invitational. All right, we got a lot of ground to cover this morning. If you want to jump into the program, love to have you. 608-796-2558. Now at 8:15 this morning, we'll talk to sports betting insider John Denton. And I want to get John to weigh in on this. My top 5 teams in both the AFC and the NFC. Because we might not be together, we might not have the same feelings. But this morning's big lead will be detailing who I've got in my top 5, both AFC and NFC.
The big lead.
The big lead.
The big lead.
The big lead.
Okay, Packer fans, this one's going to make you feel good. I'm going to start in the NFC, and I'm going to start at the top. The number one team, according to me, in the NFC, and yes, this had some fluctuations within the last couple of weeks. Vikings beating the Packers, dropped the Packers a bit. The Packers, what they did to the Rams on Sunday, have catapulted the Packers, in my estimation, back to the very top of the NFC. The Green Bay Packers have not played their best football at all this season. The Green Bay Packers have been dealing with inordinate amounts of injuries to some of their top stars. And we've talked about this ad nauseum. Jair, Za'Darius Smith, David Bakhtiari, you know the names, you know who's been injured. Even Aaron Rodgers has been injured. Out of game with COVID, a fractured toe. Okay. The Packers haven't played their best football at all. They haven't been fully healthy. And yet the Packers have really shown no true and significant weaknesses. there have been things in the game that you could look at and say, okay, the Packers could clean this up a bit. Mason Crosby's been kind of a coin flip of late. But when you look at the Packers, you can't really see a lot of deficiencies. Like in the NFL, it's okay to not do everything the best, but you can't be terrible at anything. If you're terrible at one thing, you're just not going to win enough football games. You're not going to be good enough to be a Super Bowl team, right? If you're terrible at something. Now, you don't have to be the number one team or the number two team in everything, but you can't be terrible at anything. The Green Bay Packers are terrible at nothing, and they are very good, too great at everything. Now, you can't necessarily say that about the number two team in my NFC top five. That's the Arizona Cardinals, who do have a better record, 9-2, but have already lost to the Green Bay Packers at home when they were undefeated. The Arizona Cardinals are likewise dealing with injuries. Quarterback, wide receiver, defensive players, J.J. Watt, DeAndre Hopkins, Kyler Murray. Murray and Hopkins are going to be back for sure. But I do give the Packers an edge in a couple of different ways. Defense and coaching. Cliff Kingsbury is a good coach, I suppose. And maybe Cliff Kingsbury stays in the NFL. Maybe he goes back to college. I don't know. But Matt LaFleur is a great coach. Matt LaFleur has not lost back-to-back games in his career so far. Matt LaFleur is going to win 13 games for the third season in a row, I would imagine, this year, at least. The coaching advantage and the fact that the defense for the Packers is a shade better than the Cardinals right now, I give the edge to the Packers. They're number one in the NFC today, and I've got the Cardinals at number two. Number three, my top five teams in the NFC, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're 8-3. I realize that some took exception with how Tampa Bay was gloating a bit after the win against the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday, 38-31. Some people thought that Bruce Arians was riding a bit too high, and I heard this on NFL Network, ESPN, a number of different spots. Bruce Arians was riding too high after the win against the Colts. The Colts were on fire, all right? The Colts were at home. The Colts have Jonathan Taylor. They have Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz, reckless at times, yeah, but he can still get it done. Carson Wentz is a clutch-type quarterback. For Tampa Bay to win that game on the road the way that they did, with Tampa Tom driving the team down with 3 minutes and change left for a touchdown score, the eventual winning touchdown score, Tampa Bay's still right there. And we can't discount the fact they are the reigning Super Bowl champions. I've got them as my number three team in the NFC. Now, here comes the big surprise, and some of you might push back on this. I don't think P12 Foreman will, but some of you might push back on this. The number four team in the NFC right now, to me, is the San Francisco 49ers. The San Francisco 49ers, I realize they have taken some bad beats this year. You want to talk about a team that has dealt with injuries, though. That's the 49ers. However, recently, as you can see, if you're a Vikings fan, and you can see if you've looked at any of these games, the San Francisco 49ers are developing back into what they thought they were supposed to be at the start of this season and what they really and truly were when they went to the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. And that is a power running team with more creativity, more imagination than I have ever seen in a running game. The defense for San Francisco is also getting back to full health. Bosa's back and making a huge impact. The 49ers, and we all thought this, if they were fully healthy, were going to be a real load to deal with for whoever they would play. Well, that's starting to become the reality again. Their record at 6-5 means they are right there in the playoff hunt. I mean, right there. As a matter of fact, the Washington football team, by virtue of their victory last night, 17-15 over Seattle, they're the final seed in the NFC playoffs right now. They're the seventh seed with a record of 5-6. I don't think that anybody, if we were to be really honest, except for maybe the Packers, I don't think that anybody else in the NFC would really and truly love a matchup today with the San Francisco 49ers. They're my number four team in the NFC. And number five, this is the Los Angeles Rams. I realize the Rams lost to the Packers, their record 7-4, same as the Dallas Cowboys. But I don't trust Dallas, and I've said this time and time again. Now, I begrudgingly had Dallas in my top 10 teams after week 10 because their record was what it was. Dallas has lost three of their last four. Now, the Rams have lost three consecutive, but the LA Rams, in my estimation, still have a better coach in Sean McVay, still have a better quarterback in Matt Stafford, and still have some comparable weapons to what the Dallas Cowboys can do. Now, the Dallas Cowboys on offense, extremely talented, right? But Ezekiel Elliott is not nearly what he was. Dak Prescott's doing his thing. The defense for Dallas, which did look amazing to start the season, is really dependent on turnovers. If they don't get a bunch of turnovers, they just give up a bunch of yards, which means they give up a bunch of points, which means that they eventually lose games because you can't stop anybody. If Dallas does get turnovers, if they're able to, you know, get some great interceptions, then they're okay largely. But this Dallas team, it really relies upon opportunistic turnovers to be able to do anything. And that's why I've got the Rams, and it's not by a lot, but I've got the Rams slightly higher than the Dallas Cowboys right now. My top five teams in the NFC, Packers 1, Cardinals 2, Bucks 3, 49ers 4, and Rams number 5. If you've just joined 608-796-2558, Stone Distribution Talk and Text Line, my top five teams in the AFC go as follows. And this is why I've got this morning's Flipside poll question lined up as it is. Because the AFC, to me, feels a lot weaker than the NFC. It really does. And the Flipside poll question, by the way, which of these two teams do you think could go, would have the best shot, I should say, to go to the Super Bowl? My number one team in the AFC after Week 12, the New England Patriots, or my number two team in the AFC after Week 12, the Kansas City Chiefs? Now, we'll start with the Patriots, 8-4. They're on a tear. They've won six in a row. Mac Jones has become one of the most efficient quarterbacks, especially over the last 3-4 weeks in the entire National Football League. As a matter of fact, last 3 weeks, I want to say, 79% completion percentage, 6 touchdowns, 1 interception. Bill Belichick got who he needed with Mac Jones. Mac Jones will never win a contest for strongest arm, fastest guy. Doesn't matter. Think about 79% completion percentages, 6 touchdowns and a pick over the last 3 games, all of which were wins. Now, the win that they had on Sunday over Tennessee, that was a cherry on top. That was really sort of, I wouldn't say a culmination, but that was one of those recognitions that the New England Patriots, they are not waiting around for like Mac Jones to become a mini veteran. They're looking at this season and all the money they spent in the offseason. One of the first times that Bill Belichick has ever done that. And they're saying, we need to go for it and go for it now. Why not? What's the use in waiting? And the Patriots right now are my number one team in the AFC after 12 weeks, 8-4 with their record. The Kansas City Chiefs, number two in the AFC. And there's a few reasons behind this. Similar to the Buccaneers, we have to give some credit to the fact that Kansas City has been to the last two Super Bowls. We've also got to look at the fact that Kansas City, they beat Green Bay. I realize no Aaron Rodgers, but they beat Green Bay. And then they're starting to figure it back out in a Kansas City Chiefs kind of way. They put up a boatload of points on the Raiders, and they won their last week's game as well. Kansas City starting to really get themselves back on track is still very dangerous. Andy Reid is still Andy Reid. He's still a great coach. Patrick Mahomes, he didn't forget how to play quarterback. The guy is still amazing. Travis Kelce, still Travis Kelce, right? The Chiefs still have a lot of weapons. They just were playing some really sloppy football early this season. They've started to figure that out. I'll put them in for now, after 12 weeks, as my number two team in the AFC. Number three, Baltimore, begrudgingly. Their record is 8-3, so they're the top team record-wise in the AFC. But you watch these games. Lamar Jackson became the first starting quarterback, I want to say, since Moses was in short pants to win a football game and still throw 4 interceptions in the same game. That is as rare as it comes. When you turn the ball over as a quarterback 4 times, you don't win. But the Ravens did because Cleveland is absolutely tanking out. Baker Mayfield is not the answer. Kevin Stefanski, I feel for you, dude. You don't have the guy that you need behind center. You just don't. But Baltimore begrudgingly is in at my number 3 spot. My number 4 spot, the Tennessee Titans. They're starting to take on a bit of water. Derrick Henry's injury, the release of Adrian Peterson, you know, sort of adds up to the fact that Tennessee knows they'll be a playoff team. Where they're going to fall, that's going to be hard to say. They're benefited by the division that they're in for sure. But without Derrick Henry, the team is starting to, it's starting to feel the effects of having to run a Ryan Tannehill-centric offense. The Titans 8-4, my number 4 team in the AFC so far after week 12. And number 5, and this is where the debate really did come in, and I could have gone a couple of different ways. My number 5 team, the Cincinnati Bengals. And the Cincinnati Bengals, they possibly could have been flexed into my number 4 spot because I really enjoy what Cincinnati's doing right now. The way that they beat down the Pittsburgh Steelers, if you didn't watch that game, I will just tell you, it looked like what the Steelers versus the Bengals would have been when the Steelers were at the top of their game and the Bengals were at the bottom of the barrel. If you would have switched the jerseys over, it would have felt like a Pittsburgh Steeler game against Cincinnati. But Pittsburgh had the star quarterback in Joe Burrow, right? And Pittsburgh had the star running back and Joe Mixon. No, it was the Cincinnati Bengals, and they absolutely pushed the Pittsburgh Steelers around all over the field on Sunday. The final score, 41-10, it wasn't even that close. It was 41-3 before the Steelers could get anything done. Cincinnati comes in at my number five team in the AFC. Now, this afternoon on our website, WKTYSports.com, 1 p.m., my Dave's Daily Play Sports Betting column, I'm going to take a look at each of these teams, AFC, NFC teams, and I'm going to give you all of their future betting potentials. So to win the conference and to go to a Super Bowl, to win a Super Bowl, if you were inclined to make a futures bet on any of these teams, what would you be looking at? That'll be described and detailed in today's Dave's Daily Play. All right, 608-796-2558. Stone Distribution talking text line wide open. Sean Hoff is checking in here. Sean says, I think Brady makes them a top three team, just like I think Bill Belichick makes the Patriots a top five team. And he says, no credit to a highly successful coach in Mike McCarthy. Come on, man. Nah, I don't give any credit to Mike McCarthy. I just really don't. I'm sure he's a good enough coordinator. Let's see. Sean Hoff is going to wrap up. Mac Jones is perfect for McDaniels. I agree. Dink and dunk. Don't make any mistakes, and they will be successful. Colts are better than we think. That's what I've been saying for a long time. The Colts had a really tough start to the season. I mean, they really did. But Jonathan Taylor and Carson Wentz, to a lesser degree, T.Y. Hilton's still out there playing. They've got a decent, I mean, they really do. They've got a decent team. Their defense is better than we think. Their offensive line is still really stout. So I agree, Sean. That was a better team than we thought. And look, the Buccaneers beating them on Sunday. I mean, a lot of people were saying Bruce Arians was getting too excited. I thought it was a great win. It was an entertaining game, too. Really fun to watch. Let's see. Rob Dog and Stoddard is up and at it. He says, Dave, I need baseball to get their crap together right now. Make them have a meeting all day and all night to make sure we get back to baseball. But on the other note, these are some awesome. I can't follow the rest of that, Rob Dog. I'm sorry. We'll have to give me a couple of minutes to read that. I lost the thread there, Rob. I apologize. But either way, baseball, yeah, they don't want to have to go on strike, at least not the players, especially after you're seeing all the money thrown around. I feel like that's the owner's ploy, by the way, to make sure the players don't strike. Oh, you really want to strike? We got dollars for you. You sure you want to close this thing out? Max Scherzer, $130 million for 3 years. Corey Seager, 10 years and $320-some million. Yeah, I think the players are going to be looking at their bank accounts and giving that a lot of consideration. All right, Scott Robert Shaw, WIZM Newsroom, up with us next. I'll talk a little college basketball on return. The Wisconsin Badgers, they're going to start in the ACC Big Ten Challenge tonight. Should be a lot of fun. Johnny Davis, Big Ten Player of the Week. The Badgers ranked in the top 25. Really good stuff there. If you want to jump in, 608-796-2558, Stone Distribution Talk and Text Line. Mike Byers has also delivered to us a very important look at today's national calendar. We'll bring that to you in this hour as well. Stay tuned.
Now, the area's largest radio news.